Hello everybody and welcome to our today's discussion on the situation in Kosovo. The discussion on Kosovo has attracted a broader international attention since the decision of the International Court of Justice has become public. In October 2008, upon the request of the Republic of Serbia, the United Nations General Assembly had adopted a resolution asking the International Court of Justice for a so-called advisory opinion on the issue of Kosovo's declaration of independence. And in July 2010, the International Court of Justice ruled that Kosovo's declaration of independence did not violate international law. The people in Kosovo, of course, see now that they are an international recognized state and member of the international community, and there are still opponents to this opinion, of course. In the today discussion, we will only take advantage of the international attention drawn to Kosovo. We will not focus on international law or international politics. We would rather like to focus on the situation on the ground in the Republic of Kosovo. And therefore, I'm very glad to present to you three participants of this discussion. It's Lirie Abdullahu. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And it's Hagen Scherble.
Yes, welcome. Thank you very much also, Mr. Goetz.
And it's Julia Hinz, also here in Berlin. Hello.
Hello. Thank you very much for the invitation.
My first question, of course, is directed to Lirie Abdullahu, who is born in Kosovo, and she has studied abroad in Istanbul and in Regensburg. So you have an internal and an external perspective as well. I would like to ask you, what are the greatest hopes and concerns of the normal people in Kosovo, if we think of everyday life as well as of international and regional politics? What are the greatest hopes and concerns?
Well, it's a pretty broad question. I will try to narrow it as much as I can to give the most important things or key factors that has affected Kosovo since the end of the war and the beginning of the international participation in Kosovo and after the independence. To be honest, as far as I have seen from an outside perspective, as you mentioned earlier, I have been living in Kosovo till the age of 21, but then I moved to Istanbul to study and then came to Regensburg. So I always wanted to see Kosovo and Kosovar issues and hopes and concerns of the normal people and their daily life, not as a Kosovar that I might have been affected by, but also I wanted to be very impartial and more objective to see what are the problems with or the hopes that Kosovar society are facing or are willing to face in the future. One of, I think, the greatest hopes of the Kosovar people are that after the independence of Kosovo, they thought that the doors would be more open and they would have more better perspective of their well economic development life. However, the things after the independence, the thing didn't turn as the people were expecting. Later on, the hopes were remaining about the opinion of International Court of Justice in the unilateral declaration of Kosovo's independence. And even after the opinion, the people were more enthusiastic that now they are, as we call in quotations, legal. And then afterward, they hope that the things would change for better for the future of the Kosovar society, at least in the level of their better life or improved life conditions, I would say. However, as we see nowadays, Serbia is putting so many obstacles. European Union is pretty much confused, despite the fact that lately they give some opinions to the Serbian government to change its view in regard to the Kosovo's real facts or independence, I would say. In regard to the hopes of people of Kosovo, I would just mention some of that. The most important, I would say, is they are looking with a great hope towards the European Union in regard to the visa liberalization process so that they can have at least free movement of people to other European Union countries and also abroad. The other hope might be that Kosovar people would be able to have a shift in the change of, at least they are still hoping on the European Union rule of law mission in Kosovo, EULEX, that they started to deal with the corruption issues in Kosovo. And people are looking, in many ways, they are looking pretty optimistic towards the EULEX mission in Kosovo, and that they can see that the rule of law in Kosovo is working properly, so that it means they would have a better life improvement and a new perspective. The other concerns that is affecting the Kosovar society as I see in everyday life, despite the fact I do not go that often these days, but I try to go as much as possible and follow the news from here, is that I would specifically talk about the hugest issue in Kosovo that is concerning the Kosovar society is very bad economic development. It's lack of jobs, it's lack of health insurance and social insurance, and it's also the education. It seemed to be working with the new system of Bologna, but however, when we look back at the ex-Yugoslav traditions, now turning back to the Kosovo and practicing this Bologna system that quickly after the war, I think it's not that effective, because the education, I think it's one of the hugest priorities of the society to develop. On the other side, the problem of the privatization, I would think that the hugest mistake done by the provisional government of Kosovo after the 1999 and the establishment of the United Nations mission in Kosovo administration in Kosovo is the problem that Kosovar people were not supposed, or I would say they were not supposed to accept the neoliberal economic system or let's say liberal system, because it was after the war and it is very difficult for Kosovo to cope with the privatization sector now, which has ruined the society's situation. And then dealing with the privatization system, I am not saying that we shouldn't go that way, but at that time it was pretty early. So the things that concern me is health, social insurance, new jobs, better education, and these would, I think, this would have been a huge supportive factor to give an end to these inter-ethnic conflicts or minority conflicts between the Kosovar majority and the minority of Kosovo people.
Okay, that's very interesting that you have talked a lot about health insurance and social questions, economic development, education, questions of privatization and market liberalization first, and only then in your last sentence you mentioned the question of national identity and minorities. I would like to come back to the point of the expectations towards the European Union on the one hand and the reality of market liberalization in the situation on the ground on the other hand. And perhaps we could talk a little bit about later on about the question of what is seen as European from the perspective of Kosovo, and what exactly is what Europe brings to Kosovo, and what do people expect, and this is the same thing from both sides. But first I would like to turn to Hagen and would like to ask him, because he had the opportunity to gain a deep insight into the state-building process of Kosovo, since he had worked in the Ministry of European Affairs in Pristina for a time. So, Hagen, what do you think? Is Kosovo already a normal member of the international community or a full-functioning state, or if not, what is still missing?
Well, thank you for this very important question. I think also that is a decisive question for the people, that they are in the end accepted by other international community members as a state, and in the end also by the countries that are now constituting the European Union, which is a decisive question. Here we have experience that the process of recognition of Kosovo was not as easy as it would thought to have been, since still five members of the European Union have not recognized Kosovo as a state. And this is, I think, a situation which puts very much stress on Kosovo politics, as well as on the European Union in their politics, in internal as well as the external unity question. Now, my experience was that with the clear priority of Kosovar politicians of directing all their efforts to European integration, there has come up an atmosphere of international cooperation, very much also put in place in the Ministry of European Integration, which has been built in April this year. So it's a very young ministry with some very young staff as well that has studied in European universities thanks to a European Union exchange program, which for my opinion should be broadened as well for other students. So they are very much feeling European, as I would say. And this is the Ministry of European Integration. Of course, there's other line ministries that have also to make the task of aligning to the EU legislation. And since you know, the EU legislation is quite a big document collection, as about, I heard, some 100,000 pages are coming together there. I think this is a huge effort they have to make, and working really closely together with the European Commission in first place and their dependants in Kosovo. But I think there lies also the problems. How is this going to be dealt with? Yeah? Then we have to look on a little bit on a broader scale, that the technique, or so to say the strategy of the European Union to approach each country of the Balkans, Western Balkans we're talking precisely, by itself, and applying the principle of owning merits. That means that each country must advance as individually. Yeah. They are also driving, from my feeling, a little gap into the unity of the Balkans that would be much more needed today. Yes.
So a common approach of the European Union towards all the countries of the Western Balkans who are not yet members of the European Union.
That's right, yeah. Mm. Just imagine yourself being a football player in a team, yeah, and the rest of the team is supposed to stand still, yeah, and you're supposed to be the only one to play against the other team. Fairly impossible, yeah, I would say.
Well, so that's a nice picture you have chosen, to see the former Yugoslav republics and Kosovo as a team. That would be nice if it would be so in reality, but I see that the question of the implementing of European law in Kosovo is a huge problem for the administration and all the legal changes that have to be made. I would like to turn a bit more to the mental side of the story. The rule of law, which is seen as crucial for the development of Kosovo, is this term, rule of law, understood in the same way in Brussels and in Pristina?
I think pretty much, yes. When we talk about people that have studied international universities, I mean, there's a clear understanding of what is supposed to be a state and how it is supposed to work, and rule of law as well. Now, since Kosovo is a very young republic with very young people, and as I've also experienced the young politicians there, there's still a mixture of, I would say, younger generation and the middle generation that have not studied abroad in nowadays European universities. So there is some internal understanding still going on, yeah, discussions. But I would say the understanding principally of rule of law there is pretty much the same.
Good to hear that, and I think it's an important precondition to have a common understanding of the question of rule of law. But there are not only Kosovo Albanians in the Republic of Kosovo, there are minorities of different kinds. And that's what I would like to ask Julia, who had traveled the Balkans several times, and she's now preparing her PhD on the situation of the minorities and refugees in Kosovo. So, Julia, who are the winners and who are the losers 11 years after the Kosovo War?
I think that talking about Kosovo and its current situation 11 years after the war, we cannot really identify winners and losers in Kosovo. It's right that Kosovo declared its independence in February 2008, and Kosovo inhabitants wished for the independence. So it's quite they gained their aim to declare its own independence from Serbia. But nevertheless, there hadn't not as much as it would be necessary to call them the winners or to call the Albanian majority in Kosovo the winners, because they now have the independence. Because from my point of view, all the Albanian majority, as well as all ethnic minorities in Kosovo, the Serbs, Roma, Ashkali, Egyptians, and the other minorities, they are all facing the most important problems they're facing altogether. And that's, as Liri already told us, it's high unemployment, it's a high percentage of inhabitants that live in poverty, the education is in a really bad condition, there is no health insurance. In general, health is really expensive in Kosovo, so those are the problems they are all facing, and you cannot really differentiate between winners and losers, because what they are facing is a lack of economic development, and they all have to deal with it every day.
But isn't it, is this a very European perspective or a very northern perspective, so to say, that they share the same problems? Do they feel this as well, that they're a community of having the same problems?
When you talk to the people, I talked to some Serbs that returned from Serbia, for example, and the first thing they are talking about is that they have nothing to eat. The first thing is that they have no health, health institutions they can approach, that they have no education. So although there is still the background of the war, although there is still this mistrust between the ethnic communities, and although Serbs and Roma really feel that they are behind the others, behind the Albanian majority, that they do not have the same opportunities as the Albanian majority, but still the first thing they're talking about is that they have nothing to eat, that they have no jobs, that they have no car, and yeah, so the really everyday life problems they are facing.
Okay. Well, Liri, what do you think? Is the perspective or is the expectation of the Kosovo people towards the European Union realistic? Or is it only a European dream they are dreaming and the real things on the ground that Europe is bringing to Kosovo are quite different from the expectations of the Kosovo people? What do you think on this?
Well, first of all, I think Kosovar people are identifying, as Hagen mentioned, with being a European, but I still, even today, like in European Union, everyone, even the member states of the European Union, are making a huge question when it comes to the question of whether European Union is a federal system, state system, or can be called a supranational. So it's still not identified the state of European Union. And even the people of the European Union member states are still not clear on identifying themselves as being European. Like the latest statistics shows that most of the European citizens, like 9% of them, identified as being European, and the rest like being called based on their nation state where they come from. The same thing is with the Kosovar people. Like, it's very difficult to identify now as being a European as long as the European Union is not that clear yet in regard of its status. The Kosovar people, I think, are very much fed up, I would say, in the concerning the expectations they had since the end of the war. At the end of the war, they thought that NATO is there to protect them, which is true. The new UNMIC mission in Kosovo would have established kind of administration that would have led or make the first steps towards the state development. And then with the UNMIC mission, again, Kosovars were not satisfied. And then lately we have the European Union rule of law mission in Kosovo, which was waiting like for a year because they had to monitor to get accustomed to the situation, what's going on in Kosovo, so that they can start with their procedures for what they are there. And when they started, I think the Kosovar people, up to the time the ULEG started with these searchings of ministries about corruption and catching up some people and still not identified whether they have to take them to trial or not, because they have to do the investigations, then we see that Kosovar people were pretty much impatient even with the ULEX mission in Kosovo up to the time they started to do something, like to kind of progress. However, I would not only blame the European Union or international community in this case, because as a Kosovar, I would see from a very objective perspective that the Kosovar people, I would not say about the people, the local peoples, like normal citizens, but the Kosovar authorities, I think, were not capable of fulfilling the criteria or the duty that they were given by the Kosovar society to fulfill in regard to establish a democratic state. And then what happens when they fail to do this, then there is always somebody to be blamed for. So then we either blamed NATO or either blamed UNMIC, and now EULEX, which I don't think is fair enough. I'm not saying that UNMIC and ULEX and NATO didn't do any mistake in regards to the Kosovo, but we should not blame only the international people, but we have to add ourselves too. And the second issue that Kosovar people are now expecting, really expecting the EULEX mission to work, is the proper rule of law to be established in the whole territory of Kosovo as it was declared as an independent state and with the opinion of International Court of Justice. But in the case of rule of law, the problem is that the Kosovar government, as Hagen mentioned earlier, that the young people of Kosovo who have been abroad and the young generations are very aware of the fact that what is called a state which is based on the rule of law and what is a democratic state. However, the government officials, most of them, I think they are either benefiting from that or they don't want to practice, or maybe they are not aware of the fact that the rule of law should be above everyone but not under the government officials and above the society. Which is never going to work. So I think the people of Kosovo should look pretty close to they are even looking pretty close towards the European Union, and they are even they have some hopes that the five remaining European member states like Romania, Slovakia, Cyprus, Greece and Spain would soon decide to recognize Kosovo, or even if they don't recognize, at least to be quiet so that they would not interfere in the problems that Kosovo and Serbia has on getting through the European Union. In regard to the minorities, I would completely agree with Julia when she says that the local people, when you ask them, they are facing all the same problems. So I don't think also that there is loser or winner in the case of Kosovar so-called majority and Kosovar so-called minority, because I hate these words myself, so that's why I say so-called.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, everyone is a human being, so it has to live in the country as they deserve and based on human dignity. But again, this as long as we have these economic problems, we have these unidentified issues, or we have identified issues, but they are not touched by the Kosovar government, because Kosovar government is not trying to build a democratic state from the bottom up, but they are trying to build a democratic state from up to bottom. And mm-hmm. in this case, I give a very simple example. Has anyone in this planet been able to build a house starting from the roof? If yes, then it can be possible. If not, it will never be possible, even with the Kosovar government, what they are trying to do. The other thing is that the Kosovar government is never looking at the issues of the society, what they are facing. Kosovar government is more or less looking at the so-called height politics, trying to see to still make some countries recognize Kosovo and using its, I would say, weak diplomacy, but at least they have some, to try to push the other states to recognize Kosovo so that to pass these over these barriers. But nobody, almost nobody, except the non-governmental organizations in Kosovo, local non-governmental organizations, are more effective than position and opposition in Kosovo in regard to the concerns of the Kosovar society. So this is the hugest mistake, that Kosovar government is never dealing with its society, never dealing with the health, education, economics. This is breeding the conflict between the conflict between the minorities in Kosovo and majority in Kosovo. However, in my opinion, there is only a very upper class and it's a very poor class in Kosovo. We don't have this middle class. So it is in both cases, either for minorities or for the Kosovar majority. They are both in the same level, and it's very difficult to bring kind of peaceful agreement between these minority groups and the Kosovar society. So in this case, I wouldn't say that there is pretty much injustice potentially done or intentionally done towards the minorities and given something more to the majority of Kosovo. I think in this case they are equal, and minorities are also struggling to identify this, to become known in Kosovo, since Kosovo is not declared as a national state or as a nation state based on nationality, but it is based on multinational state. So the minorities in Kosovo are facing the problem of a creation of their identity, own identity, how to live in a multi-ethnic state. So this is another problem for them. And for the Kosovars, there are the rest problems that we already mentioned, and as Yulia mentioned. So this would be my opinion, that Kosovar people are expecting from European Union in this sense. I do not think that Hagen and Yulia were pretty much looking from the European perspective. I think they were pretty much looking from the ground facts perspective.
Mm. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. And my question to Hagen, having in mind what Liria just said, that Kosovo would need a bottom-up approach rather than a top-down approach in the politics. The European Union is not able to build a state bottom-up, as a multinational organization is always coming top-down. But nevertheless, having in mind that EU cannot solve all the problems on the ground, what should be changed in the politics of the European Union towards Kosovo?
So from the side of the European Union, I think there should be very much change. First of all, thank you, Lira, that you mentioned this crucial point of the Kosovo politics that should really take care of their people and invest in these issues that are really touching the people, yeah? And I think this is really a crucial point to build the state from the inside with the people instead of some kind of parallel structures. Here comes into play the European Union. They are more on the side of the parallel structures, so to say, that they are basically supposing that the Kosovo is already a established state, as it would be Poland or Slovakia or any other kind of European member state. Yeah, but when we see that Kosovo has just been established as an independent state 2 years ago, so I think it is unfair to treat them as a real existing state in that way. So they have to align their politics to that situation also and come and build that house from the bottom together with the people. Yeah? But this shows another crucial failure of the EU here, to see that people there have different needs, that you can't just copy the approximation process and of the former Central European state to the Balkans. There is a totally different situation you have to be aware of when you see the societies there. And when we talk of a society of as small as Kosovo, of just over 2 million people, I mean, this can be a perfect social laboratory, yeah, as I perceive it there. The people there are very much in a situation where they can take up on responsibility for each other, and they are looking for solutions on a social scale and economic scale. And when the European Union absorbs much of the resources of the young people that are able to build up the state by just putting into place action plans and checking on endless actions that are needed to align with the European legislation, I think clearly that the task of the Kosovo state building falls behind. Yeah? So there is a clear need to change the strategy of the EU here and to approach it really individually, since it is their words that they want to make an individual approach, yeah, to each country, which I think is wrong in a double way. As I just mentioned, you need to first clearly see the needs of the people there, and then see the needs of the region, that they are in a need to cooperate much more than other regions or other states in Central Europe before, yeah, that have been long-standing states. Okay, so I think the homework of the EU is really a big one here, yeah? And they need to show in the end the will to really integrate them and include the people. It's a question of communication. I mean, as long as the people, the basic people of in Kosovo are not allowed to go get included in the visa liberalization process, as the other surrounding states are already. Most of them can go without visa to the European Union since the beginning of this year. But it has been announced already at the summit of Thessaloniki in 2003 that this visa liberalization process is one of the main means to take along the people in the process of Europeanization. But now, 7 years after that, what we have seen is that people are locked out, actually, of the European Union. Mm-hmm. And this is very much leading to frustration for the young people that I've met in Kosovo. You know, there's artists, there's young entrepreneurs, there's academics, and they face isolation on a part of the European Union and the politics that I cannot understand. I see the only chance And the little lighthouse that they have is the NGO scene, the regional NGO scene, coming from Serbia, from Albania, from other states around, and from European states that are really interested in the people in Kosovo. So here we have to really re-incite the interest for the needs of the people again.
So I think two major points you made. One is not to overburden the state still developing itself and still right. in the process of state building, and to give visa liberalization to the people of Kosovo, which was promised 7 years ago.
I just want to jump in at this point, because coming back to the statement from the beginning from Liri, that told us that the Kosovo authorities always blame the international community. So first NATO, then UNMIC, now it's EULEX. They're blaming for their own failure. Based on this statement, I would come to another direction of EU policy toward Kosovo. From my point of view, it's very important to give more responsibility to Kosovo. It's right that Kosovo is still developing a democratic state and that they need a lot more time to develop all the necessary aspects to be a democratic state. But nevertheless, when I was in Kosovo, I always felt that Kosovo was so long ruled by others, by the international community, by Serbia in the 1990s, that Kosovo authorities always have this mood of blaming other people, this mood of not really feeling responsible for their own system, for their own acting. So from my point of view, it's really important to give them more responsibility and to make clear that the international community, so EULEX and UNMIC, that they're helping to create a state, that they're helping to establish a new legal framework and to bring all this, but that it's the Kosovo authorities that have to tackle the problems of the society. So, for example, if you're talking about education, that they have to come up with an educational system that is working for all Kosovo people and not only for some parts of it.
Liria, what do you think on that? In my eyes, it's a bit of a contradiction. On the one hand, Hagen says that the European Union should not overburden the young state of Kosovo with responsibilities. On the other hand, Julia says that it's important to make Kosovo people and Kosovo administrations really responsible of what is happening. Which way is wrong?
To be honest, I'm not supporting both sides or any side, like in this case, which I would like to choose, because I want to tell from this aspect that in regard to European Union, the mistake that is done by the EU is the promise of visa liberalization, as Hagen mentioned. And on the other side, from the Kosovar society perspective, they feel like they are the only isolated society now remaining in the Balkans. And this means that they keep telling that we were the victims of the war, we were not rewarded with what happened towards us, the genocide, and we are still having missing people. But above all, what Serbia did to us, Serbia was given green light to get into the EU. The visa liberalization process went further for Serbia, but not for the Kosovars. So is European Union supporting the crime or the victim in this case? So they are keeping asking this question. In this sense, they feel very, very angry in regard to the European Union. However, when it comes to the European Union giving some space to the Kosovar government, it is a true fact that European Union must give a space. But it is a bit unclear, because like yesterday on the news, the Prime Minister of Kosovo, Mr. Thaci, declared that he is not going to give any official permission to Serbian visitors or officials to come to Kosovo, because they come with an aim for cultural stuff, and then as they enter the country they speak in political aspects, so they do not obey the reasons why they come in. And then the EULEX comes and says, well, this we have to be distinguished from this, what Mr. Thaci said, because we do not say this. So then I think sometimes I see that there is not much cooperation between the European Union mission in Kosovo and the Kosovo government. Maybe there is, but maybe sometimes we can feel that there is some misunderstanding or gaps. I do not know if these things are done intentionally or just by accident. And in regard to the Kosovo being completely responsible by the European Union, as Julia mentioned, I partly agree with Julia, but there is another problem, that the Kosovar society is the youngest one as a state. And we should not underestimate the fact that we do not have a tradition of how to rule a country. So we are the people that are really ruling the country now, they are also not perfect. Nobody is perfect in this planet. But at the same time, they make huge, huge mistakes whenever they do something. And they do not look about after the consequences that will follow them. The other thing is that Kosovar people, I would not say in general, but majority of Kosovar people and also the Kosovar government, from my point of view and from my experiences I had during my studies, comparison of different democratic and non-democratic and religious states, or let's say like Iran or something. In Kosovo, there is, I think, also in Kosovo society and also government, there is a collective responsibility towards a state. For example, I give you some simple examples. Why? Because a high official, when there is somebody committing a crime or disobeying the law, let's say like passing the traffic red sign in the traffic, and then the police comes and writes a ticket, police does its job or his or her job. And then this person goes to another relative of him or her, which works in Kosovo government, and says, well, can you help me to cancel this ticket? The person who goes to ask for help to cancel the ticket is not able to accept a mistake and go and pay the bill and get used that this is a law and has to be obeyed.
Mm-hmm.
So this is by state. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the hugest mistake comes by the state official, which calls the police, for example, in this case, and says, hey, can you do this because he's the son of my uncle or my brother or my sister, and Kosovo is not that big. We almost know each other.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to escape these things, we have, as Kosovar people, we have to distinguish between the work, state job, and state responsibilities we have as citizens, all of us, and friendship and relatives. But this is always interconnected with each other. As long as it continues, it's very difficult to apply a proper system in Kosovo. I see that the Kosovo government, especially the Prime Minister of Kosovo, is always talking on behalf of the Kosovo is a democratic state, Kosovo is, and so on and so on. But I do not see this kind of democratization. I don't know how he got an example of such a democratic state. Why? Because the media is censored at the same time. The people are facing many difficulties. Whenever there is a law applied in Kosovo, people are never told about this. For example, the last case was with the law in a sense that the Minister of Transport and Telecommunication in Kosovo applied that all the cars coming from England to Kosovo, which are driven on the right side, they have to be changed to the left, otherwise they will not be registered.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not provide with any technical garage that the people can go and shift their cars. But he didn't pay for that. He didn't give any damage costs to the people, but the people were not able to register their cars. And then later on what happened? They had to withdraw from the... Because, as he said, it's a condition from European Union, which I do not believe. Because
mm-hmm.
we know that in European Union you can drive on the right side and there is no such a law.
Mm.
And then, after 2-3 months, or let's say 7 months, he comes and in a night, when people change their cars from right to the left, and it costs like approximately, as I read on the news, it costs like 1,500 euro to change that. And then it's even not stable because you have either to call a company from Turkey, which is responsible for, or you have to invite a company from Germany, which has to do this job, a technical company. And then the people pay the money, and then the next day the Minister of Kosovo for Telecommunication and Transport says, well, we changed the law, you can now register your cars. And what happened to these people that they paid so much money? And who is going to be responsible? The state is not offering anything. So this is a simple example that I do not know how the Prime Minister of Kosovo and President are calling Kosovo as a democratic state when they are not able to protect the fundamental rights of human beings in Kosovo, and especially of their private damages and state damages. So this is another problem that in this case European Union cannot help anything. In this case, we, the Kosovar people, have to be aware of the fact that if the law is applied in Kosovo, it has to be applied for the better of the whole Kosovar society. but not for some to function and for some not to function, because in this way it's not going to work. So this is the reason that Kosovar people are losing trust either in EU or the Kosovo government institutions, because in the parliament they do establish a law, but the same people who establish a law, the judiciary which talks about the law and the execution, they both are the first ones to break the law before the Kosovar people.
Thank you very much, Lilia, for this very down-to-earth examples of everyday functioning or misfunctioning of the rule of law in Kosovo. I would like to ask you three short questions to everybody, and I would ask you to answer quite shortly and to conclude the discussion. The first one now is would be for Hagen. Is the Kosovo today a rent-seeking society? Is there too much money put into Kosovo really to establish a self-running market economy in Kosovo?
I think it is just a rent-seeking society, just as any other country in Europe, where we have the idea of a market economy, where we need to establish companies and to make profits in a way. Now, in what way these profits work, we have to decide in another discussion. But there is a good possibility that the Kosovo economy will internationalize, since I think more than one-third or even half of the people of Kosovo have already had really good experience in the other member states' economies, since the remittance is still making up about one-third of the budget of Kosovo. And so these people know very much what is good business like. Yeah, and I think in this way, Kosovo's location in the middle of the Balkans can be a good position also for international economy. But what is really, I think, a decisive point here, since you were asking me about my opinion of the institutionalization and the state-building process, I would like to add just one little thought here. Why should the EU not be more visible for the people? I think there is a huge need also to build up a public relation resort of the European Union that would maybe publish a newspaper including Serbs and Kosovo society, and this way they could communicate with the people, because so far they're just talking to the politicians. But my approach is always not to politicize so much, especially not in the Balkans. You need to really talk to the people and see their needs. So there, why don't you finance with a little money from the European Union such a public media project that has already been discussed in academia for so long? There we could have a laboratory for a real European approach of media and public audience and awareness of Europeanness. So this was one more point of the site. But I think it's very important, that they could really include both. Plus, the European Union has the means of putting pressure on both parties, So to resolve really the actual problems and up that are to be resolved, whether it be in trade, whether it be in cultural relations, and so to stimulate the relation and the cooperation between the people.
Thank you very much. So not too bad expectations for the development of the Kosovo economy, and a very concrete proposal of a social media project in Kosovo. My question to Julia, who was talking a bit about the education sector, what would be the major change needed in the education sector in Kosovo?
First of all, the first need in the education sector is to get new textbooks, to get a new curricula, because they're very old. They're sometimes even from the Yugoslav times, or they come from Albania. So we need a Kosovo curricula that really tackles the problems of Kosovo and that tackles the history and the culture of Kosovo. And what is really necessary here is to include the minorities, because in Kosovo we have only one education system that works in Albanian, in the Albanian language. So the minorities that do not speak Albanian, and that is first of all the Serb minority, but also the Roma and also the Gorani and Bosnian minorities, they have to be included into the education system. So the Kosovo authorities have to establish a curricula for all people in Kosovo that can all go to school in Kosovo without referring to the parallel systems, because at the moment it is, we are facing the situation that Serbia is organizing schools in the Serb enclaves and in the north of Kosovo, where the most part of Serbs live. So they have to come up with a new curricula that includes all of them, all minorities and the Albanian majority in one system, with new textbooks that deal with the situation in Kosovo and that include all different aspects of culture and language in Kosovo, which is really a difficult task, but still, without doing so, without having a new curricula for all people in Kosovo, there is no understanding for the other ethnic communities possible. It's not possible to talk about the war. It's not possible to start with any reconciliation process. And there is even the fear that the new generation, the children that are born after Kosovo War, that they're still facing the same mistrust and the same feelings, the same anti-feelings against the other minorities or the Albanian majority.
Thank you very much indeed for this contribution. So firstly, better means for the education system, and secondly, the inclusion of everybody, really everybody in Kosovo, including the minorities of every kind which live in Kosovo. My last question goes to Lyria again. Lyria, what do you think? Is Kosovo still a post-war community? Is the war and the history of the Serbs and the Albanians in Kosovo still the dominating factor in the everyday politics?
It's a broad question, because you have to add many factors in regard to the situation in Kosovo between Kosovo and Serbians. I think the hugest problem and obstacle the Kosovar people and the Serbs are facing is, especially in Serbia in this sense, is, as I completely agree with Julia, in regard to the change of textbooks. But not as, I mean, like, also, of course, adding the other foreign languages that are spoken in Kosovo. So that would be not a disadvantage, but that would be, in fact, an advantage for all the Kosovar people, that they could have to learn more different languages. In the sense of textbooks of history, I would focus much more, is that in Serbia there is still this problem of the Serbian people being ruled or brainwashed by the Academy of Science of Serbia, which is the main engine of these nationalist views that the Serbian population are still facing, even today. And even I feel very sorry, in fact, for the Kosovo, for the Serbian youth, that when I talk to some of them, sometimes some of them did understand the fact that we just want to go into the EU and then lead a normal life as every other European Union citizen is living, and get a chance to have better perspectives and try to get rid of these nationalist ideas and destructions that happened in the... Of course, nobody can blame the Kosovar people in one side and maybe the Serbs on the other about what happened between the Serbs and Kosovars. It's very difficult to forget, because it's still a fresh thing. Like, that shouldn't be expected, but there are chances. Nothing is impossible in politics, and nothing is impossible in this planet too. So there are chances that the new generations can try to get together in different ways, different forms, by different programs, to change ideas, to exchange ideas, and try to change the concept of the historical books, that people, since they are children, when they go to primary school, the nationalism always starts there. And it's very common for the Balkans in general. So I think this concept must change in a way. In regard to the Kosovar people, I think they are kind of, in order to reach the better aims to get into the EU, they are more tolerant, and they always accept everything. But then Kosovar people, I think, at one certain point, they should respect the international community, they should respect the European Union, they should respect some international norms. But at the same time, the Kosovar people in this sense should at least respect themselves first of all, and then have the respect for the others. But at some certain points, they have to have their own aims and views, what they want with the Kosovo and how they want Kosovo to be seen in 5, 10, 20, or 50 years. after they even before they join the EU, or later at the later stage after they join the EU, what would be the Kosovar role as a new member state of the European Union? These historical things are still present in Kosovo and Serbia. We cannot just overpass them and say, oh, we are now democratic and the people are very multicultural and you have many cafe bars and the nightlife is good and daylight and so on and so on. This is very difficult to predict. It's not good to stereotype. And it's not good to overpass these historical facts that happened between the Kosovars and the Serbs. In this case, I would blame the international community since the end of the war that they were pushing more than far the Kosovar society to get used to live in the same place and way with the Serbs. Not all the Serbs who did crimes, but not all the Serbs as a Serbian community, but at least for these people who did commit crimes and had a fought against the Kosovar people. But despite that, Kosovar people were more flexible on trying to overcome these things and trying to be more tolerant for the sake of having an independent state, being more close to the European Union, and then trying to give so many things for a better future. So these are very difficult things that I would say it's pretty difficult to predict something that one day or it's like in a day you cannot change these things in regard to Kosovo history and Serbia. But there is still something present in Kosovo and Serbia. And in both sides you have this. You have very open-minded people in both sides. But then you have really a majority of very narrow-minded people who are still sticking into these nationalist views. Even with Kosovar society today, for example, most of the people are not that satisfied with the new Kosovo flag because they still stick onto the Albanian national flag, and wherever they go, they carry it with them, like as in ceremonies and so on. So even from this simple example of the flag, you can see that in both sides you have this nationalism which has its roots in history. That would be my opinion.
Thank you very much indeed for answering this complicated question, and thank you very much especially for giving us a spark of hope that the situation could change, even if it being complicated in the present time. And thank you, all the three of you, for sharing your thoughts with us. We hope we will continue this discussion on the website, and we are looking forward to comments from the side of all listeners in all countries. And I thank you all for joining today, Julia, who is leaving to the U.S. and now being in Berlin, Hagen being on holiday in France, and Lurie calling us from Regensburg. Thank you very much, everybody, and have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gertz.